podcast.
Our Modern Workspace project is doing a lot of work to transform council offices to support a move to home and office working or hybrid working, which is what most staff have told us that they would like. We've seen changes in response to COVID restrictions, and now we're trying to embed the best of those, but also enable people to work and collaborate in real life where they want or need to. This is going to mean a lot of changes to the way we use and share office space together, and we want to develop flexible arrangements that combine the best of working from home and the best of working in an office. Team are working town by town to develop proposals and to make space available that suits everybody's needs. The added bonus is that we will be able to make savings without cutting services, and will also enable us to cut our carbon footprint. And here is Ross McLaughlin, Head of Commercial Services, Chris Malcolm from Ryder Architecture, and Shirley Johnson from Commercial Services team to talk more about the project. Today, talking about our Modern Workplace project, it's a bit of a tongue twister. And I've got with me today Ross McLaughlin, Head of Commercial Services, Shirley Johnson, the Change Manager in Commercial Services, and Chris Malcolm from Ryder Architecture, who's the consultant assisting with the project. So just starting right at the beginning, Ross, tell people who maybe aren't familiar with it, what is our Modern Workplace project all about, and how did it get started?
Hi, Pippa. Afternoon. Yeah, no, certainly our Modern Workspace programme is very much what it says on the tin, looking at where the ways our council services and our employees will operate and run the business that we need to run in the future. We're just having a bit of a discussion in advance of about what our places of work look 10, 20 years ago in different locations, and whether it be the size of offices for the manager that was once there, or the fact that I still recall passing faxes in brown envelopes with someone's name scrubbed off them as you handed them to a different colleague or a different department. Things have changed so much in the last 10 and 20 years, and what our Modern Workspace programme is about listening to our staff, which we've done a number of engagement with already, also about future-proofing and predicting what service demands that are coming down in the future, what digital technology, what our communities are needing as well, and actually augmenting the ways that we work to do that, and what one of the key pillars of that is about changing our buildings and changing our estate. We've got some fantastic examples of modern offices out there. The Civic Centre in Helensburgh in particular has been through a rationalisation project and it's got really flexible space within that building, and the opportunities to co-create within that, and we're really looking at all of our places where office space staff are, and looking what the potential and opportunities arrive. So in a nutshell, we're really looking to future-proof our buildings and our estates and our workforce for what the future demands will be. I don't know, Shirley, did you want to come in and cover anything else there?
Yeah, thanks, Ross. Good afternoon, everyone. I think really from our point of view, we are so geographically spread within our Gaelic Butte that we don't have the luxury of one big building that's a headquarters the way a lot of other local authorities have. Because we've got, you know, kind of reasonable sized towns, we have kind of one big building and then a few other buildings throughout each of our towns. And I suppose really it's kind of highlighted to us how our buildings are quite inefficient. You know, we have some buildings that have only a few people in them that are really expensive to run. They're not the kind of bustling, vibrant office spaces where people want to get together and collaborate. So I suppose looking at this, obviously a huge part of it is about looking at the people and how they're going to interact within that, and that's being developed at the moment. But it's really about looking at how efficient our buildings are, and with wider kind of, you know, looking at our carbon footprint and how much we're costing to heat these buildings and maintain them, you know, we're looking at better utilising our buildings and having them more efficient. So that was kind of the driving force at the beginning of it. But obviously, with everything that's developed over the last kind of 2 years and seeing how incredibly well our workforce have adapted to working from home, and the feedback that we've had from them has been a very clear steer that actually working from home is something that's worked well for a lot of people. I know there is people that it hasn't worked so well for in personal circumstances, or the way that they operate has meant that it hasn't been you know, an ideal situation for them. But for a lot of people, it has worked really well. So we want to be able to incorporate their needs in the wider kind of project, and looking at how we adapt our buildings to meet the needs of all of our workforce, but also look at how we, our wider estate. So that's kind of how it's come about, and how it's kind of this project kicked off.
I think it's really interesting when you talk about future proofing as well, because I'm thinking, you know, we're doing this virtually by Teams video calling essentially, and I'm with you, Ross. I remember like memos in triplicate, and getting, you know, it was a good few years into my career before we got our own email account. Sometimes I wish we didn't have email on some days because it takes over. But, you know, and even at the start of the pandemic, some of the calls were still on teleconferencing. And I remember 100 people on the call were all going, bing bong, you know, Joe Bloggs has arrived on the call. And when there's 100 people, that can get a bit much. But, you know, we're using so much of these online tools and online collaboration, but there's still a desire for people to see each other in real life, and those kind of, that mix that we need to accommodate, and the speed it's likely to change is going to be quite interesting. And I mean, Chris, you're involved in this for a range of organisations. That's no mean feat to try and design spaces in a flexible way. And what's your thoughts on how you've seen that develop?
Hi everybody. It's an interesting one, because you're looking at things working in a couple of different levels. There's one of the things that's really interesting about the project is, if you take that kind of wider sense of how do you actually do it at the level where you're making a positive contribution through doing this to each, you know, a kind of townscape level, you know, where's the, you know, Argyll and Bute have done a lot of work over the last year in terms of understanding their places and thinking, right, where are the right locations to make these interventions in terms of the hubs themselves? Where are the places that will make most difference to making a vibrant town or place? And as Shirley said, I mean, it's so different, the different towns across, you know, across the council territory. It can't be a one size fits all solution for each different place. But, you know, that sense of being able to actually get better activity within a location is a really positive thing, and get more collaborative working in principle between different organisations, particularly in the more remote locations, that's really important. But when you then look at it within the actual context of the level of the actual workspaces and buildings themselves, how you manage those different requirements, it can be a challenge, but it's also, a lot of it's about giving people choice and how they want to work. Because, you know, if there's one thing that came out the pandemic, is that working from home has been really, really good that people can do it. And it does work well for a lot of activities. But it also, I think, brought into focus the things that we value working together in person. You know, the idea, I mean, we're seeing a lot of this, and it was kind of drifting this way even before the pandemic happened. I think it's just accelerated it. But you were starting to find that when you were looking at office design, things were moving away from the idea of, you know, like large crammed in workstations that were about, you know, how many people can you fit within a big office floor plate, to much more about thinking, well, what are the activities that you do when you're together with someone? And that's certainly become, you know, a touchstone of what we're trying to do with this project. And certainly it's about trying to give people choice in terms of how they work. Because appreciate, you know, that for a lot of teams, and that's something that's come out of the consultation that we've done, there are some teams still like the idea of working in the way that they did before the pandemic, and we want to make sure that that option is there. But for others, it's a bit, well, how do you give them workspaces that can actually facilitate a mix of in-person and, you know, online working, and doing that in ways that kind of break down the sort of more sort of rigid workspace settings that you would have had maybe 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, it's. I mean, I think it's that evolution is interesting. I know I was, I've mentioned it on the podcast, there's no surprise, given I've created this one, that I'm an avid listener of podcasts, and I was listening to one about the sort of history of workplaces, and they were talking about one of the I think effectively you could say he was the inventor of the screen that we see in offices, you know, the felt covered screen and things. And mm-hmm. The one thing the designer said was, absolutely do not put them at right angles. And what did people ultimately create was those cubes that people sort of put in there. And now the sort of, you know, the fodder of comedies and things of people being stuck in the little cube. So there is something about what you and Shirley have both said of how that is something that's flexible and considers people and not just a sort of factory generated version that's rolled out as a one size fits all for everybody.
I think the big focus that I'd kind of had with Chris and his team right at the beginning of it was, you know, we wanted to make the offices welcoming for whoever was in there. So there are going to be some people who want to work from there, you know, almost all of the time, which is absolutely fine. But there might be folk who only maybe come in once a fortnight, once every 3 weeks, or only if they actually have to. And we wanted to make sure that they didn't feel awkward, or that they you know, that because they weren't there all the time, that they weren't welcome within it. You know, we wanted to make sure that the spaces were flexible enough that people felt that it was somewhere that they wanted to go for the collaboration, and if that meant that they had to go into the office to do that better, that it was welcoming and it met their needs. So we wanted to make sure that there wasn't this divide between those who were working in the office and those who were working from home. And Chris and the team have worked really hard on that, and making sure that the spaces that we've got are adaptable to be able to do that as people's personal circumstances change. So hopefully that will come across as well.
And the reason that has been the path that we've been going down is largely because that's the feedback that staff have been giving us. We've done intensive customer staff surveys over a number of sessions over a number of months. And we've also had a lot of workshops and down to granular one-to-one session with specific teams as well, and that tends to be the feedback that we are getting from staff, that typology of hybrid working: have vibrant spaces, have flexible spaces that people can come in and do their engagement, their facilitation, their meeting with the public, and then that space either be used or if they're needing to write a report, nip back home to do it when they need that quiet space. That's the sort of feedback that we're getting from staff. So it's something very much, it's not just about buildings, commercial services taking forward a strategy. This is the program board for our modern workspace is human resources, it's finance, it's IT, it's the trade unions all sitting on this, feeding, understanding the evidence that we're getting back from the coalface and interpreting that into propositions and product, which is ultimately what will be within the hub offices, as we're calling them.
I think the other thing to add into, I think the other thing that we're to add into it was, obviously because of the feedback we've had, you know, there is a significant drop in the amount of space that's going to be needed. So we've been able to highlight areas within the buildings that we can then offer out to our public sector partners. You know, the Scottish Government are really keen to try and co-locate where they can, and you know, kind of the overall kind of public purse is reduced with using, because everybody's looking at this. It's not just local authorities, it's not just us. So everybody's kind of on the same kind of path at the moment. So it's been really helpful for us to be able to look at our buildings and identify areas and engage with lots of our public partners and look at whether or not we can come together and have that. It also means that we've got those links that you know we're using on a regular basis. Different services are in contact with regularly are going to be right on the doorstep. So you know, it's a huge opportunity for us to be able to work better and help deliver our services better as well.
No, I think you're absolutely right, Shirley, because I mean, we certainly saw absence go down, for example, when more people worked at home, you know, at the start of the pandemic. As you say, Ross, we've done multiple surveys and things. People are feeding back, and then stuff I've seen of, you know, better work-life balance, I'm more productive, I've got less commuting time, so I've got more time at home, and I'm able to devote more time to work. Like you say, Shirley, you know, if it builds stronger links with our partner organisations, and because of that, you made an interesting point, what you said before of how buildings sit in the community. Because, you know, Helensburgh's example, where we've got a cafe, for example. So yeah. Some of this is about how community can come in as well as us be accessible.
I think that is really important. And one of the, I suppose, the key kind of pillars of the strategy has been that came out of the place review that was done for Dunoon and Rothesay last year, was that idea of having spaces in what's called an engine room, which is where it's less public and customer facing, but it's being really good quality workspace with a choice, let's say, of different types of settings for people to do, sort of to meet and do focused works. But also that idea of the engagement hub, which is that interface point with the public, you know, where, you know, are having space that people can book out for meetings. And the location of those needs to be pretty well considered, you know, because if you look at Rothesay, it's been important to, you know, look at the old former bank buildings down in the waterfront. It's a good accessible location. I mean, Eaglesham House, lovely building, great, you know, reception suite, but not the easiest place for people to get to. You know, if we're trying to encourage people to be walking around our towns and streets more, we need to think about these kind of things, you know, how accessible spaces are. But it is important that places feel welcoming as well, you know, through just the, I mean, what's been really interesting is actually getting around, seeing a lot of these buildings, even some of the ones that we didn't use. We went down to Campbelltown, Old Key Head, you know, the building there. Like a lot of buildings that local authorities have had for numbers of years, they get chopped and changed and, you know, moved around over the decades. But, you know, there's a fantastic big atrium hall in there that's currently just, you can only find it if you go up into the loft, and it's got a false ceiling cutting it in half. And there's all these little gems in there that are just, you know, lots of things you could do with them. But it's, you know, but just across the road, the one that we're using as the customer engagement hub, the Burnett building, I mean, that's a beautiful building. You know, it's obviously A-listed, but it's great to be able to actually get that working just that little bit better. Or, you know, like the municipal building in Oban, you know, so it's really good from that point of view.
This exercise has really shown that. I mean, we had, in terms of offices, probably high 20s, 26, 27, 28 types of office. And you just think about the annual budget from utilities and running costs and repairs, or if a roof's needing done, it's a lot of buildings getting that finite budget and reducing budget, quite frankly, due to inflation and things, is going less and less far. So what we're the focus around this is getting fewer number of better facilitated, better suitability and condition hubs, rather than the higher number of probably depreciating in terms of condition and suitability and condition because of the budgets that we've got. And like Chris says, we're very much looking to play to the strengths. And the other thing I would just work upon what Chris said is, see, for our local businesses and local communities, it's not that we're going to be moving out of offices or walking away from town centres. What I actually think we will be doing is creating a greater turnover, a greater footfall in the day. So whereas you might have had someone that was going in at 8:30 in the morning, spending the whole day there and leaving at 5:30 at night, you might actually have, within that same scenario, have multiple people coming in and using the space in different ways and coming in and out. So potentially the opportunity to spend more in the local shops and the local services around there rather than the traditional model.
Yeah, and I'm definitely sitting in one of the buildings that I think is, you could class as sort of Jekyll and Hyde at Kilmorey, of the nice looking bit and the less nice less well insulated and fit for the 21st century part.
I thought you were going to mention some staff names there, Pippa. I was going to get really who was Jekyll and who was Hyde on that floor.
No, I was anthropomorphizing the building. Is that the right word? I'm not going to try and say that again because I'll need to. I'll definitely not have my teeth in for that. But no, I mean it is. It's, you know, what you're describing, I think it is one of those really great transformational projects, and essentially it enables, you know, our belief is it will enable people to work better in a better environment, support their well-being, support flexibility, that will get us better outcomes, better partnership working, potentially lower costs, and better climate change credentials. So, you know, it's there's a lot in there that we should be working on anyway, and the fact that it comes together in one project and will hopefully give much better outcomes is, you know, just makes it a fantastic one. I mean, we've touched on the fact that this is probably going to mean we're in less buildings, so also maybe, you know, our property portfolio is one of your key responsibilities. What's that likely to mean in terms of the buildings that we don't use or don't need anymore?
Yeah, first and foremost, we're created a number of areas for the staff who are currently based in those buildings to go into. That the hub buildings at this point in time that we'll be further developing and further working up and drawing the designs. So for the buildings that we're coming out of, we'll be looking at some form of disposal strategy, and that can take a variety of different shapes and forms depending on the location, the nature, the, like Chris said, there's some fantastic cellular buildings and some listed fantastic structures that are quite unique that we might be very limited in the scope. Others, I think there's real potential at doing different things with them. And I think our starting point would always be, can we retain that building as the council, but make it work harder for us, whether it's another commercial office, maybe residential, maybe some other sort of added value to that community or that townscape setting that we can reinvest in as a council. So that would always be my starting point. Can we create something new and add value to ourselves, the community, etc.? The second aspect might be some form of disposal that could take multiple forms, including a sale or a lease or asset transfer. So I think there's no one size fits all. It's very much about the setting, location, and the building itself. But certainly always in the first instance, looking to add value to the setting.
Yeah. And as you say, it's going to be a long process. And likewise, Shirley, for as we, you know, we're getting to that point of it's it's not COVID necessarily that's holding us back from buildings, but I know you're trying to do the sort of manage as people return, because it is going to be a shift and a real change. It's that's going to take some real intent and thoughtfulness about how we do that.
Yeah, definitely. There's going to be kind of, you know, three different groups of people. There's going to be the people who are ready to embrace this new way of working, which is, for some people, it's going to be really vastly different to how they've worked before. There's going to be the folk who are, you know, already kind of doing the half and half, and they've already kind of adapted to how they're going to manage that going forward. And then there's the folk who are really, really going to struggle with it. And we get that. We understand that, you know, that this could be a big challenge for people. At the moment, we're working with Chris and his team, and also with our cost consultants to put together an overall cost analysis. And obviously, budgets determine how much we can do. We would love to be able to do everything all at once and get everybody in, but obviously that's just not going to be possible. So we'll program that out so that we can work out how we're going to deliver it. And I think, to be honest, I think until we've got the first town done and people can actually see, because it's really difficult for people to understand a plan, you know, with the best will in the world, unless you're dealing with them all the time, lots of people can't visualise what that's going to look like. So I'm hoping that after we get the first town done and we get lots of photographs out and we get people can come and have a look at it and understand what we're going to do, it might ease some of the anxieties that people have got. We've been really, as Ross said right at the beginning, we've engaged a lot with line managers and with individuals where there's been some concerns, but you know, we're very open with everybody. All of our communications, we've got our email address, we've got my contact details. You know, if people have got real concerns or anxieties, come to us and talk to us about it, and hopefully we'll be able to alleviate them immediately. But if it's something that we've perhaps not thought about or that needs to be included, we can chat with Chris and his team and make sure that these things are included, and that you know, we're not continuing to make these kind of or forget about these things, because it might be that after we've got it in one town, we use these lessons learned as we go through the rest of the town. So we don't have a definite time scale at the moment, but as soon as we do, we'll get that out to everybody. We'll keep everybody up to date through our communication channels, and likewise, anybody who wants to come back to us, you know, the communication is two ways, so they're more than welcome to get in touch with us.
That's fantastic. So open door then, if people want to share their ideas or indeed, as you say, if they've got concerns or even some of those early adopters who are desperate to do it might have some great input to make. So thank you all for that. Hopefully that's given people an idea of what's coming. But I think it's such an interesting project, and I think, you know, it hits so many positives. So I just can't wait to get out and about and see more of the change as it happens and see people in real life. So thank you all for joining me virtually.
No problem at all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Peppa.
It's difficult in a podcast to get across what our modern spaces will look like, but I hope you got a sense from Ross, Shirley and Chris what we're trying to achieve. And it's something that I think will be very exciting. Personally, I'm a great believer that the quality of the spaces that we live and work in can make a big difference to well-being and from a work point, our productivity. And just to emphasise what Shirley said, we really want to hear the views of staff, and particularly if people have got any concerns or ideas that they want to be taken into account. So there is an email address, our modernworkspace@argyle-bute.gov.uk. And for employees, there's more information on our hub if you want to look for it there. And I think it's also interesting for communities in terms of how our offices will work as places people engage with the council, or spaces that they can use, or potentially the opportunities from buildings that we won't use anymore as council bases. So I hope you enjoyed our conversation. Look out for more as the project develops. Bye.
This podcast.